Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach, always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
Well, goodness, it wants to start over. You know, this is a show that obviously deals with some of the hardest topics in the world, and I am just so glad to be here with you today on Columbus Day. While everything else is closed, Carol the Coach and Sex Help with Carol the Coach is open, ready to talk to you about the issues that you're dealing with. And there is no doubt that this is a field where there's a lot of pioneers that are plunging forward and working hard to establish education, treatment, compassion and understanding for what this condition is. I got to tell you, I mean, it is the hardest work I've ever done. It's the most rewarding. So here's what I'm doing for you. I very clearly made it my mission to have this show. Gosh, we're into our fourth year here. And I have experts in the field of sexual addiction. And I have experts in the field of partner trauma. That's the good news. And I mean, they are experts. I learn something every single week. And tonight, I am thrilled to be interviewing Connie Spiegel. And she is the owner of Reconciled Relationships. She's a relationship coach. She's a writer, an artist. And she has been through what it's like to be a partner. She's a CPC through IPEC, which is a coaching program that I actually got my certification through. And she's a partner specialist through APSATS, the Association of Partners of Sex Addict Trauma Specialists. Tonight she's going to be talking about how she coaches women to identify their core values, recognize their intuition, develop their voices, create boundaries, and decide what opportunities they would like to choose for their life. I don't know about you, but she sounds like me. This is what I tell partners that are in trauma, that they are empowered to make some of these choices, even though their life feels like it's in shambles and they have no choice. So at 9:15 Eastern Standard Time, Connie's going to be joining us. She's going to be talking about how does she empower women, you know, and what groups she has to offer and what kind of coaching she has to offer and why she made this her mission to assist partners in figuring out how they can make sense of this devastating problem. Okay, and you know, I really work hard on dealing with people who have been through the trauma, sexual addiction, and loving somebody who's a sex addict. You can always email me. I've got a new email address. It's carol@carolthecoach.com. Believe it or not, I found out that my email was not HIPAA compliant. So, you know, we're always striving towards the utmost in confidentiality. And if you want good information, I'm telling you, I've started a YouTube channel, and it's called Sex Help with Carol the Coach. It's for sex addicts and partners. Oh, they're 5, 10, 12-minute informational segments on, you know, things that you need to know. What are the three circles? What are the recovery tasks? How do you find more safety and security if you're a partner? You know, how do you reassure your loved one that you're going to take care of them and get recovered? And then we're going to be starting a YouTube channel for ITAP, which is the International Institute of Trauma Addiction Professionals. You know, that's where Patrick Carnes does all his training, and that's his founding group. And so I'm so delighted to be a part of that. I think I'm going to be the first entry. So there'll be some written blog information and some additional videos over there. But there are lots of resources for you. Do not give up. Know that we've got your back. And I know that you have been with me long enough to know that I definitely have your back. I want to educate you. I want to provide some insight. And I want to encourage you to know that this is a devastating situation. You can feel better. You will get stronger, no matter whether you're the addict or the partner. You learn things about yourself that you never, ever knew. And, you know, it's interesting because I just recently read the book Love Warriors. And Love Warrior, well, actually, I think it's Love Warrior, and it's by Lena Melton. And she is this woman who had lots of issues herself. And actually, in the midst of working through her issues, she figured out that her husband was a sex addict. She never said that. I guarantee you, that's what he was. And so she was very honest and open about wanting to hate him, wanting to divorce him, wanting to separate from him, wanting to make it work, wanting to love him. And there just is, if you will, no better book written about the betrayal that a partner feels. It actually is called Love Warrior, A Memoir by Glennon Doyle Melton. And I highly recommend that book. I just think she's amazing. Wonderful author, a wonderful memoir. And I read that on my last vacation, and I was really taken by how real it was, how raw it was. So, I want to recommend that book. And I want to recommend to you that if you have any questions, any issues, any experiences that you would like to share, you can reach me at carol@carolthecoach.com. And I will do my best to find out information. For instance, tonight I got an email from a listener who said, "Hey, Carol, we're looking for a really good polygrapher in Iowa." Now, I don't know of a good polygrapher in Iowa. I'm from Indianapolis. But what I can promise is that I'll throw that out to my listserv. I'll find out if other people in this business feel very, very comfortable with specific polygraphers. And believe it or not, this couple said, "Hey, we will travel to Indianapolis if you deem it important to be with your polygrapher that you use." Now, for any of you listening for the very first time, you may say, "Polygrapher, what is that?" Well, one of the things that we use in our treatment of sex addicts and couples work is a polygrapher who spends time with the addict and the partner and actually tests the addict with maybe 5, 6, or 7 questions. And it's not to, lack of a better word, bust the addict. It is to build trust with the partner. You know, so oftentimes when you've experienced partner trauma, you want to believe your husband or wife. You want to believe that they're finally working on their issues. And at the same time, there's a part of you that says, hey, you believed him or her before and it didn't work out. Don't do it again. You're going to be hurt. And so oftentimes those people have not used an experienced, seasoned sexual addiction polygrapher. And like I have one in Indianapolis, Mike Turk, he's absolutely wonderful, and he's been on the show, and he only lets the partner come up with 5 questions at a sitting. And I have guys that take this test once a month. I have guys that take this test every other month. I have guys that take this test 4 times a year, twice a year, or once a year, depending on where they are in their sobriety. And, you know, oftentimes somebody will take it 3 or 4 times a year, and then when there are repeated successful polygraphs where everything was in the up and up, sex addicts had been honest, start stretching it out. Because really, like I said, this is not to identify that an addict is lying. It's to prove that he is really working hard on his recovery, and he can prove it to you. I know there's all sorts of speculation about how accurate are polygraph tests, but I've been doing this now since 2009. It's been 7 years, and I've never seen one fail. And I've had 2 failures, but both times I knew that the addict was not being honest. I knew that in my gut. You've heard me say it before. I truly believe we are able to identify life based on our head, what we think, our heart, how we feel, and our gut, what we know. And if you're a partner, you may have tried to identify truth versus lies by using your heart, what you wanted to believe, how you felt. And although emotions are really important indicators, I gotta tell you, it's the gut that really helps us to determine what is true and what is false. So this polygraph just kind of substantiates that. If you're a sex addict, I want you to know this is one of the greatest accountability tools in the world. You know, when you talk about the 10 recovery tools and what you need to do to really get honest, really work hard on your program, accountability tools like filters and blockers and polygraph tests can really help. It's the 9th tool out of 10. And it is very, very scary at first to use that. Once you've done it and you have confidence in the person who's doing the testing and you have confidence in your therapist and it works out to your advantage and it proves that you're being honest, it's a whole different ballgame. You can't wait to take that next test. And we always work with the partner to share the questions beforehand so you know what is going to be asked of you. There is no ambush here. This is to build trust with the partner because you've betrayed them, him or her, repeatedly, and now they worry about what is real. Can they believe their own gut? And, you know, nobody should live like that. There's just no doubt about it. It's traumatizing. It can create lots of anxiety, lots of panic, lots of self-loathing. You know, you feel the shame while the partner feels the pain. And so anything we can do to make a partner's experience better, we're going to work towards. Because you've heard that old adage, and I realize partners may be male or female, but in this situation, happy wife, happy life. Well, here is a woman who has given her soul and love and been betrayed over and over and over again, and she's still hanging in there. She wants to believe that this relationship can make it. And so we utilize any tool possible to make that available to her. She deserves that. And tonight, as indicated, Connie Spiegel is going to be talking about what she does to help partners to feel a sense of confidence, to restore their sanity, to reconcile their relationships, and to help them make decisions that are absolutely in their best interest. And that's what I love, is that she absolutely empowers men and women, but mostly women. Most partners are women. She empowers them to begin to trust themselves again. So, Connie Spiegel, welcome to Sex Help with Carol the Coach.
Hi there, Carol. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Your story is incredible, and you obviously spend lots and lots of time making partners feel safe about their lives and the trauma of their betrayal. And so I wondered if you would be willing to share a little bit about your story before I ask you, about your services and what you can do to make a partner feel safe and make her feel stabilized.
Yeah, so my personal story. I have been married to my husband, Bob, for 38 years, and sex addiction, obviously, he came into the marriage with it. I had no clue, and many years into the marriage, I had dribbled disclosures. He would come to me. I would ask things. He would confess things. Back in the 80s, I don't know if there are many therapists trained in this area, so we were limping along, going to traditional marriage therapist, and it was pretty ugly. Typically what they did is they would work with us and they would do the, 50-50 thing that, let's see what's your fault in the marriage. Let's talk about more sex, more dating, less criticism, that kind of thing. So, in my mind, I didn't understand enough back then in my 20s to understand that they were traumatizing me. So fast forward at about 23 years of marriage, we'd gone to a couple specialists that were actually trained in sex addiction, and he just could not find the tools to get free. So after 23 years of marriage, we had three young children, we ended up divorcing for 3 years. And during that time, I was devastated. I knew he was a good man. I knew he loved me. I knew he wanted to get free. And I had actually watched him, pop his wrist with a rubber band until I thought it was going to fall off. He tried every external thing he could think of to get free. He really didn't understand the emotions, the catalyst underneath his addiction. So we ended up trying to reconnect during that time. I thought he was sober. And after 3 years of divorce, we remarried. I'd love to say, oh, wow, it was just a game changer getting remarried. He was, so excited to have me back, but it wasn't like that. It actually was messier after remarriage because I had high expectations of him. I thought he would be grateful to have his family back. But what ended up happening is after more stress, arguments, job stress, all that type of influences, he ended up acting out again, and I can remember just thinking I might die because it was so embarrassing. The whole community watched us divorce and reconcile, thinking that, it was a love story that we reconciled. I was miserable. And it's a big part of what I wanted to share with you. We finally found a counselor that understood sex addiction, that understood how to teach my husband about what was driving him, what was underneath this. And more important than that, he explained to me that his addiction wasn't about me. that it was, he came into the marriage with it. I didn't create it, I didn't cause it, and I couldn't stop it. And that's where the freedom between us began.
You know, it's interesting because you said that you didn't cause it, you didn't create it. And obviously in addiction, they do say, you can't control it, you didn't cause it, and you can't cure it. And so it must have been empowering and yet mind-boggling to think, wow, this is something that's going on with him that really has nothing to do with you.
Yeah, and, you know, you can read that, you can hear that, but if a woman is told that and yet sits in a therapist's office and he begins working on her and her part of the marriage, like, you know, wants to help her have better communication skills, as she's expressing her anger and her bitterness and her trauma and her fears, he starts pathologizing her. That is such a mixed message. Right? Absolutely. You understand that. That's such a mixed message to her. So, you know, to get a partner stable, to be able to help her find that safe place, to not only tell her story, but during the telling of her story, to begin empathizing with her, to help her really understand what sex addiction is. To, you know, like my husband, he was sexually abused as a child. He had severe attachment issues and damage done to him as a child. He came into the marriage that way. He didn't look like that because, you know, addicts are charming and they're intense. And unfortunately, at age 19 when I married him, I didn't understand the difference in that intensity and what intimacy was. You know, I was just a young woman. My life had just begun as far as a relationship. And so I got all mixed up in that. And so he put his...
Well,
his
and can
his,
I just add that addicts have learned how to lie. And I'm not even talking about their present-day behavior. Oftentimes when they've been traumatized, when they've gone through their own abuse, their own neglect,
absolutely,
they've learned how to fake it, to act as if nothing has happened to them. So they learn early on to be charming, to look like nothing's wrong, to not ask for help. And then they meet somebody who is special and loving and caring, and they think, wow, I finally am going to get what I deserve. And then, of course, they sabotage it by acting out because they haven't healed from their original trauma.
Right, exactly. And like for my husband, I don't know that he thought he deserved it. In fact, I think it was the opposite for him. I think he was so shame-based. I think he honestly believed that he didn't deserve love and he didn't deserve intimacy, and he had never been modeled that. And I also believe that he had tried to explain this to girlfriends before I came along, kind of what he dealt with, and they had abandoned him. And so I think he had a deep fear of abandonment when he met me. So he kept that game face on, and he white-knuckled it for the first 10 years of our marriage, which is amazing when I look back at that. So going back to what you said, I think it's so important that partners truly understand that his addiction says nothing about her, yet a whole lot about him.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And, you know, isn't it, Connie, so different than the original model that we in sexual addiction learned? You know, initially we heard, well, if the addict is this sick, this partner must be that sick. And
that's
now
right.
We're realizing what a travesty that was and what an injustice that was to have that co-addict model. It has nothing to do with the partner. The sexual addict has his own issues to deal with, and it's totally separate from the love that a partner has for him.
I agree. And, you know, I often wonder, how many counselors are brave enough to call some of their clients and apologize?
Good point. Wait, well, you did find somebody, though, that figured it out, correct?
I did. We found a counselor, Jason Martinkus, and he actually leads all the Everyman Battle workshops, which I recommend to any addict. It's phenomenal. And, you know, we found him, and it, I'll tell you how we found him. It's a really cool story. So we'd remarried, and I think it was, I'm not sure what year it was, but we'd been remarried quite a while, and I found out that he was in trouble again. And I gave him, in fact, it was in December, and I gave him, I said I needed a few days to decide what I wanted to do. And this is something that's real important to teach partners. I said, I need to set some boundaries for myself. Now, most women come to me believing that boundaries are about what they're going to make their partner do, or, I mean, what they're going to make their husband do, or, you know, they're for the husband. I've learned, and I learned the hard way because I used to do it that way, I learned that if you create boundaries for yourself, they're to keep you safe, and they're not to keep people out. They're not to block people out, but they're to keep you safe, and they're a little bit they're just a gift to yourself. I don't believe they ought to be rigid. I don't think they ought to be punishment for the husband, or even punishment for the partner. I think they're just boundaries that you set for yourself. So, for instance, I said to him, I need a few days to decide what I want to do because I could tell you're in trouble again. And I came to him and I said, I love you. I am for you. I'm for this marriage. I want it to work. And I'm not going to be able to stay in an intimate relationship with you if you're acting out again. So I'm going to give you 30 days. I'm committed to this marriage for 30 more days. But I'm going to need, in order to feel safe and stay, I need to see you going to a workshop like AMB. I need to see you with a therapist that also can do some counseling for me, because I had been so left out of the process. He had gotten lots of counseling, but I never had. You know, I would sit there and just listen to him, talk to him, but no one ever helped me all those years before. And I said, I need you to be in a really good support group, and not a support group where the guys are talking about their jobs or talking about the weather, but they're really talking about, you know, character issues, intimacy in marriage, the stuff that support groups should be about, how to get sober, how to stay sober, how to overcome triggers, that kind of stuff. He took me seriously. I think he was on an airplane within 10 days. I gave him a list of 3 or 4 counselors. 2 of them were females, and he said, no, I don't want a female, I want a male. He picked Jason Martinkus, and we began counseling with him. It was the most, it was so incredibly healing. He's I think where he's gifted, and I hope other counselors and therapists are listening, I hope they hear what I'm saying. For the first time, I realized what was really going to heal our marriage is that Jason put 100% of the responsibility on my husband to repair the damage he'd done. Okay? He allowed me...
Absolutely. And, you know, it's that accountability that even though it may be, hey, this is a coupleship, it's not all 100% my responsibility, but what we know to be true, and you know this because you and I went to the same coaching school.
Yeah, we did.
My favorite 2 coaching principles... First one is, I am 100% responsible for my behavior.
Yeah.
And no matter what happened to me, no matter what I've done, no matter what the world has done to me, I'm 100% responsible. And then the second one is to go in for the big ask. I absolutely believe that we can't do it by ourselves. And that's why for a sex addict, they are 100% responsible for their behavior. They have to be 100% accountable for their own behavior. And then they need the 12-step program, a recovery program, an intensive, a hospitalization, the right recovery books, prayer, meditation. You know, they need a whole committee to help them to get out of this dark hole.
They do. Absolutely. They cannot do it in isolation. Yeah. And that's their go-to method, isn't it? Just being isolated and trying to stay to themselves. That's what most addicts do. So the fact that he put the responsibility on my husband to repair the marriage was a game changer for me, because it gave me the breathing room to heal. So he allowed me to, without saying, Connie, you need to be working 100% on your own stuff. What he said was, he gave me the space, a safe place during counseling, to voice my fears, my triggers, my heartache, you know, bitterness, anything I was doing, and he normalized it. I can remember how many times he would say, well, of course you feel that way. And what he did is he modeled to Bob, my husband, he modeled how normal those feelings were, okay? They weren't, they became less scary to my husband, okay? And so that was a game changer for us.
That totally makes sense. And so it was through this specialist who knew what he was doing,
yeah,
he helped your husband to take responsibility for himself, and then what happened to the coupleship?
Well, I can remember the day we'd probably been counseling about a year, and he really began explaining to me what sex addiction was, how my husband had been exposed to, you know, explicit material, aware of his sexuality way before he should have. He had been sexually abused. And what ended up happening is he explained to me that that was just his normal go-to method of medicating the pain he felt. And so he started explaining to me how there were, you know, the three I's that addicts get tapped into. They, you know, they start feeling incompetent, insignificant, and impotent. And all of it is just basically saying they don't have what it takes. So he started explaining how those are the drivers, the catalysts underneath this addiction. They have those feelings. They're uncomfortable with it. It's painful. And since they were little boys, they had medicated it in a sexual way. Okay? And so he explained it to me, and he started giving me examples, stories of clients and stories of things that he had, you know, who he'd counseled and coached, he started opening up my heart. And I can remember feeling empathy toward my husband. Now, that's what he had been trying to teach my husband to have for me. You know, you hear partners say, my husband has no empathy. Well, they don't. You know, their prefrontal cortex is pretty messed up, and empathy is not their natural, you know, go-to emotion. And so he had been training him to have empathy for me. All of a sudden, I started having empathy for my husband. I started realizing, and I think when I really, really realized that his addiction, I really had not caused it. You know, I hadn't been too argumentative. I hadn't been too ugly. That this is just how he dealt with pain. I dealt with my pain in other ways. It wasn't sex addiction. And so my empathy for him started flowing, and I can remember a connection between us that occurred that I didn't ever expect to happen. And it was pretty deep stuff, and we became more like best friends. Now, I wouldn't be authentic to say that flowed all the way through and we live in, you know, happily ever after. We do not, and we still have issues. But I can remember that beginning. It's like he went from being my enemy to becoming my buddy. You know, I started seeing him as a real human being with huge struggles and pain that he had never intended to go this far with medicating his pain.
That makes total sense. Now, I want to ask you a couple of things, because here you are. Finally, you've gotten the help that you need. You've gotten a good therapist who can help both of you, who understands your husband's addiction, who makes him 100% responsible for his own behavior. And somehow, some way, you became a coach and also a partner specialist. So,
yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what you believe to be unique about a certified partner coach, and how in the world did that occur for you?
Yeah, so one day a former therapist of ours, a sex addiction therapist, called me and just said, hey, would you ever, you know, think about going into this and going to IPEC and getting certified as a coach and maybe being a partner coach. And at the time I was working full time in our company, and I said, I don't know, you know, I've always wanted to help women. And he knew I'd been leading some support groups at our church untrained, which is a dangerous thing to do. And I said, I don't know. And I waited about a year and ended up going to, getting certified as a coach. And then as I'm coaching women one-on-one, and I feel like I'm missing something. you know, I feel like something's just not quite right, and I'm striving. And what it is I still had that old codependent message in my head. I still had that message that somehow if they were kinder, less critical, less stressed, their husbands would be more successful at staying sober. I really did have that. And I met a good friend. She's an incredible coach. In fact, she's going to coach addicts. That's her specialty. She's going to help addicts really understand what partners go through, what's going on in their brain, and how their brain gets so hijacked by the trauma. And so she was coaching me, and we were building a relationship and a friendship, and she started explaining to me about the trauma piece. Her name's Kathy Reynolds. She's also certified in EFSETS. And so I started listening to her and getting that a lot of our reaction, and I'm just going to be really bold about this. You know, I'm a pretty spiritual gal, but when your husband has gone to the depths mine has and you're highly triggered, your language can get so out of control. Words flew out of my mouth that I had never said in my whole life because I believe my brain got hijacked because of the amount of trauma I was under. So I started really understanding.
Frustration and the anxiety. You know,
yeah.
For our listening audience, they may not know that trauma means that your brain gets hijacked and your frontal cortex does not necessarily work right with the amygdala, and you go into fight, flight, or freeze mode. And it sounds like for you, Connie, you went right into fight. I mean, absolutely,
yeah.
You were saying things you never would have thought.
Yeah,
you'd
that's
said.
Right.
You
that's
were so
right.
challenged.
I was so jealous, and you know all the stuff that we learned in our coaching school. I learned that what I did is I immediately wanted to make peace because I don't like conflict. Then I went into fight mode, and then I flipped back into basically the freeze state. That's what I always did. It was just kind of my go-to. I immediately tried to make an amend, somehow fix it. Then I started fighting, and then I'd freeze, and so. What I realized is I needed help, and I needed to be trained in this trauma. So that's how I went through APSATS, and I became trained and certified. And I ran my support groups totally different. At the time, I was working for Shelley Martinkus. I'm still working for running groups for her. And I cannot tell you the difference in trying to lead women and you know, all these partners, highly traumatized. When I understood the trauma model and I understood what they really needed, the safety they needed, the place to have voice to their stories, you know, to really be able to talk about their stories, and then to go into the coaching of what do you want to do about it, you know, how willing are you to continue living that life, or what are some things you can do to get grounded or to regain your peace, whatever it was. My coaching became so much more effective. And more than that, my gals started healing. And when you have partners start healing, you have marriages. If the addict is willing to do his stuff, and he's got to do it. I mean, he can't mess around with his sobriety. And there's more to it than just his sobriety. There's all those other issues, the intimacy issues, the, you know, the connection, all the other stuff going on. And so I started seeing women get healthy.
That had to have felt so incredible because I agree. You know, I worked with sex addicts for probably about 5 years before I went to APSATS and got certified. And what I knew to be true is that I was doing a good job with partners, but I wasn't doing a great job. Their trauma almost traumatized me because it was so... so anxious, so panicky, so angry, so hurt. The what we call hypervigilance of them wanting to check the phones and their addresses and GPS and get up in the middle of the night and they couldn't sleep. And I'm thinking, I understand needing to do whatever it takes to make you feel safe. But at the same time, the addict was sleeping, and the partners were up 24/7. And so it was through APSETS, which I think happens to be the best partner training in the world.
I did too.
I learned information about trauma that I had not known before so that I could actually help my partners work on self-soothing and self-care and mm-hmm. stabilization and safety. And, of course, women are amazing. When they feel safe and stable, they can do amazing things mm-hmm. for their own lives and even in the coupleship.
Right. That's right. Yeah, so I think the listeners need to hear, and I'd love for you to tell us what are some of the most powerful things that you did so that they not only didn't traumatize you, but you helped stabilize them.
Well, one of the things that I really learned about was resourcing. And resourcing with partners means that you figure out with them what they can do to create more safety. You know, earlier you talked about boundaries, and boundaries mm-hmm. aren't to keep the addicts away. Boundaries are to keep the partner safe.
That's right.
And so when we talked about resourcing, that may have meant that when they came home from work, they got to spend an hour all by themselves taking a bath, going for a run, talking to their mothers on the phone, and the addict agreed to take care of the kids, cook the dinner, do whatever mm-hmm. it took to put the partner first.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, there's just no way that an addict can make up for the trauma that they've caused. But when partners see day in and day out, the addicts are willing to do what they need to do so that the partner feels safe, they begin mm-hmm. to believe it. I find that partners are forgiving when an addict can walk their talk. And okay. so that means that the partner needs to identify what are their needs. And let's face it, women in general can be very confused about that because they do put everybody first.
Yeah.
So identifying needs is a great tool in helping partners to get healthy. Identifying mm-hmm. self-care is a wonderful way to teach a partner how to self-soothe. Limiting the amount of time they spend with their addict husband so that they really get breathing room to mm-hmm. test their own environment. You know, we have to have a safe environment to proceed in a safe way. And for a lot of these people, the addict is, you know, I don't experience as much gaslighting and betrayal that a lot of my colleagues do. And I do believe that's because we lay it on the line right off the bat. I see couples and I see partners and I see the sex addicts and they know that I'm not going to allow my clients to get betrayed over and over again. That would be my boundary. I'm not going to work
yes.
with you.
Right.
You aren't going to work the recovery tools intensely because that's
yes.
what sex addiction requires is intense work.
Yeah, bravo for you.
Those are some of the things that I do. What do you do?
Well, I was going to say bravo for you because I think there's nothing more painful than teaching these women how to, you know, get grounded, how to be safe, and it's imaginary because her husband's still acting out. And let me just touch on that real quick before I answer that question. This has been a struggle for me as a coach. I need more resources. I have found some incredible, you know, therapists and counselors and coaches, but we need more. We need more of them like you. And what I've learned is I'll have these women in a support group, and they can't quite get past it. And I hear them for months still talking about the same thing that this addict has done, their husbands have done. So, yeah, number one, they aren't feeling safe, and their intuition and their gut is correct. Most of these gals have not had a therapeutic disclosure. Their husbands haven't had polygraphs. So they're believing that the addict is...
It's absolutely essential in treating a true coupleship is that full disclosure so that information doesn't eke out all
right.
the time for years and years and years. And also, those polygraphs are essential. I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but I was just talking about need to do that every 3 or 4 months for the first few years. And I got partners and addicts that have agreed, no, I need it once a month.
Really?
We have a very reasonable polygrapher here, $250 for five questions. And so that may seem outrageous, but that's all, you know, if they have to do four of those a year, it's so well worth the $1,000 to feel safe again.
That is, it is. So, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with that. And, you know, something that a lot of my partners struggle with, and it's actually near and dear to my heart because I struggled with it too, is you can tell them all day long what they need to do as far as taking a hot bath, getting away from the addict, you know, painting, music, whatever it is. But if they've had years of dribble disclosure, which I did, they learn to detach. And so, you know, I can remember my coach girlfriend asking me, you know, what are you feeling? I had no idea what I was feeling. I had learned if things didn't feel safe, I just detached. And I have partners like that in my groups. And they're a little bit more difficult to work with because they're just not in tune with what they're feeling. So self-intimacy is critical not only for the partner, but it's highly critical for the sex addict as well.
And I'm so glad you brought up groups because obviously you do run support groups for partners.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what those groups comprise of and why they're so essential in treating the mental health of a loved one who loves an addict.
Yeah, I love support groups. That's kind of my niche, and I can't even say that word. I'm from Texas, so we call it a niche, but I know you guys call it a niche. So anyway, I love them because this is what I think. I think life gets more normal inside them. I think you feel like you're going crazy, losing your mind outside of one. You get on that hour-and-a-half call every week, and all of a sudden you're saying the same thing the gal. You know, my support groups are from all over the United States. My gals live everywhere. So, you know, I've got my gal in Dallas talking and my other gals out of New York, and they're saying the same thing, that their husband's saying the same thing, acting the same way, they feel the same way, and everybody starts feeling more normal. Before they were on that call that morning, they thought they were crazy. And my favorite thing is to hear a woman say in a group, I was so stupid not to know my husband was acting out. And to hear one of my other, you know, partners get on the call and say, you weren't stupid. Why would you have thought that he would be doing that? And so there's a lot of normalizing. We have an environment. We create a really safe place with the partners. I teach them how to empathize, not give advice, not criticize. So what we do is we do check-ins. And everybody kind of just uses, you know, a couple of words to describe how they're feeling. And the next thing you know, they're saying this happened or this happened this weekend and I felt kind of crazy about this. And then I'll say, do you want feedback? And someone else will give feedback. So what I'm teaching them to do is not only tell their story and do it in safety, but I'm teaching the other women how to empathize with them. And, you know, we do not know how to do that. I mean, empathy is a lost art.
You know, it's interesting that you would say that because clearly we're always teaching the addicts how to empathize and yet truly the support within partners group helps to validate that they're not crazy.
That's right.
And helps to validate that they are worthwhile, that they do have intuition that can carry them through. Now, tell us a little bit about your website, because obviously you run groups, and you have worked diligently on creating a safe place for partners. So give us the name of your website and tell us a little bit about the services that you offered at ReconciledRelationships.com.
Yeah, so it is. It's called Reconcile Relationships, and my favorite thing to do is to run groups. I do coaching one-on-one, but I find that my partners heal better within groups, and so I will try to pull them into one of my groups if they're willing to do that. It's much more cost-effective. The results seem to be, I can't explain it. I can have groups that hang together. I've had some that have been together 6 months, and then some have gone as long as a year, and they become a community. And I have some that continue on these friendships. I think one of my favorite stories is one of my group members went down for an intensive with Jake Porter, who does a lot of trauma work, and he's also ABSATS trained. And she flew from she drove in from another city to come in to see him. And one of my gals from way out of state flew in to help her babysit her child. And I thought, that is the beauty of groups. These women have not only bonded as sisters, they'll be best friends forever because they have this compassion for each other. And I can remember looking for that, needing that, and I couldn't find it. You know, back in the 80s, there weren't these type of support groups. Today, there are so many good, well-trained coaches, well-trained therapists, counselors that can pull these women in. They just have to dig for them. But I will tell you this, if you get in a group, and let's say you're highly traumatized, and you get in a group and you have a facilitator who will tell you not to tell that story again, move on, get past that trauma, let's not talk about it anymore, you know, you're going to re-traumatize yourself, she needs to get out of that group really quickly, because that's not the truth. What I've learned with partners is they need to tell that story until it makes sense. Now, we do it with boundaries within our group. We try not to get explicit. You know, I try not to let them talk about, you know, really highly sexual, explicit situations their husbands are in. But we make sure that what's underneath it, the emotions. I do a lot of let's talk about how you feel. Instead of what he did, let's talk about it made you feel. And I'm seeing where that trauma, it's almost like it dissipates and it lessens. Now, if I have someone in my group and I can tell they're in a cycle and 3 months into the group or 2 months in, it's just not going to happen, that's where I send them off to get trauma therapy. And any coach listening needs to really hear what I'm saying, because you can almost do more damage to them if they're not fit for a group.
Oh, I 100% agree. You know, oftentimes, partner is reeling from the betrayal of the addict. Yeah. And then when they get a therapist or an institution or a church that wants to rush them through therapy or doesn't empathize with them or wants to blame them, it's a whole other type of betrayal. And so sometimes partners are dealing with two or three types of betrayal, all in the treatment.
Yes, they are.
Something that they were innocent bystanders for. You know,
yeah.
It was the consequences of being married to an addict. It had nothing to do with them.
Right.
I agree 100%. Listen, I am talking with Connie Spiegel, and she has this website, and it's called www.reconciledrelationships.com. She is a certified partner coach. She runs groups, and she believes that couples in counseling can benefit and repair their relationship when they deal with sexual betrayal with an expert. Now, this is such a specialized niche that you just can't go to anybody. And she knows that the trauma model is so important for partners of sex addicts. She's been certified by APSATS, which is a partner certification program for trauma. And, you know, obviously IPEC was your coaching school. And I'm curious, you went to IPEC first before APSATS?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I sure did. Yeah. And I remember I came out thinking that, okay, I'm going to coach partners. Well, and then I felt like I was missing something. And that's how I ended up.
And so then you went back to APSATS and got some training. And are you a certified partner specialist?
Yes, that's right. That's right, I am.
And how many years have you been a certified partner specialist?
Through APSATS, I just was certified this year. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So
we are right.
Yeah.
We are aligned in amazing ways. And, and you know, you said your marriage is not perfect. It has its hills and valleys, and that's the way it is. I mean, I always say, marriage is the institution that holds you together when you fall in and out of love with each other. And in this
yes.
situation, marriage is the institution that holds you together when you're working on yourself, deciding whether you can work together or not.
I know.
And so,
yeah, and the thing for me is, you know, I've watched friends, partners, you know, and it saddens me because I see these counselors who they have a heart for this. They really want to help partners. They're very, very partner-focused, in fact. They're really good at the, you know, therapeutic disclosure process. And what happens during this process is they stay really focused on the partner, okay? And they use the trauma model. They're good at that. But they start forgetting about the relationship, okay? And so what I believe is so imperative is they've got to help heal not only the partner's trauma, but they've got to help heal the addict's trauma. And I think what happens is during these especially in the movement we're in, we're all so, you know, highly aware of how wrong the co-addict, codependent model was. So we've moved into this trauma model, but it can become so partner focused that we leave these dear men out. And I'm just going to tell you, I have a heart for addicts. I get them. I raised two sons. I love men. I understand men. And I look at these men and I realize they weren't loved. They had horrible attachments. You know, they had families that were void of emotions. They had very critical, parents, grandparents. Like my husband really didn't have a father. He had a couple fathers and no one that you know, really taught him how to be a man. And so I am just going to challenge counselors out there to, you know, be partner sensitive through the trauma model, but don't leave the addicts out.
That's a very good point because a lot of partner specialists understandably have experiences with addicts. And I have to say, I don't know that they all feel the way you do. And so you're really
mm-hmm.
saying, hey, it has to be divided. Don't leave the coupleship out and don't leave the addict out.
Yeah,
now,
don't leave them out.
Begin to wrap up.
Yeah.
How can a couple know when counseling is beneficial in repairing their relationship? What do you believe are the signs of a good couples counselor?
Yeah, I feel like one that will, I feel like when a counselor like our counselor, he equipped my husband with all the tools necessary to stay sober. And he didn't start out saying, now look, you might slip. He challenged him with, these are the tools. I'm going to teach you about the catalyst underneath your acting out. This is what I'm going to come alongside you and teach you to do. So he equipped him with the necessary tools. He helped him understand that his acting out has caused great, great pain to me. You know, it's destroyed my trust, my security, my sanity, but he didn't shame him in it. He taught my husband how to feel and express empathy. Not that either of us do that well all the time. We can fall off the wagon on that, but he taught him how to try to keep me safe. How to let me express my fears, my triggers, and then he helped him work through some of his childhood pain and attachment issues. And I think that in itself, and like I mentioned earlier, we're working with Jake Porter right now. He's doing some really deep stuff that he's been trained. He's been trained by Pia Melody and Patrick Carnes and the Imago, you know, is it Imago Therapy, I believe? It's so cool.
It sure is. Harville
yeah.
Hendricks and Imago Therapy, Keeping the
yeah,
Love You Want. One of the
I
most
love
intense
him.
Couples
yeah,
and possibly do.
Absolutely, yeah. And so what he's working on him with is understanding his attachment style, understanding that, and this is very key, and this has been a huge problem in our marriage, is that when he does something and explains it to me and I'm highly triggered by it, he withdraws and he holds back out of fear of getting hurt again. And so he's teaching him how to move toward me, and he actually says, use a catcher's mitt. Catch what she says, don't let it pass through your emotions, examine it, and look at it from her perspective. And, you know, I look at everything through the lens as a partner. I look at it as, you know, am I safe? Is he being faithful? You know, where do I fit in his world? Does he really love me? And so those are some pretty key things. So if all of that is occurring, which we've been very, very blessed to have all of that happen for us and have our marriage restored, if that's occurring, you'll start building intimacy in your relationship. If you've got a counselor that's tearing the addict down, you know, pathologizing him, criticizing him, it's natural for the partner to separate from him, and it really causes a breach in the relationship. It actually causes divorces to happen.
Oh, I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
So, Connie Spiegel, I want to thank you so much for sharing both your personal wisdom as well as your professional wisdom. Again, I want to recommend that people go to your website, which is www.reconciledrelationships.com, and people can get a hold of you and share with you what they may need, and you can either direct them or help them personally. Thank you so much. It's just been an amazing journey to talk with you tonight.
It's been an honor, Carol, and I appreciate all the work you're doing, and I hope we meet up soon at a conference.
I guarantee you we will.
Yeah,
there is no doubt about that. So you have a great week, and keep on doing what you're doing, because there aren't enough of us around for this.
I know it. Thank you so very much. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, again, that was Connie Spiegel, and she really knows her stuff. There is no doubt about it. She's lived it, and from here forward, she is absolutely committed to helping partners and the coupleship work on their relationships, get stronger, and stay safe all in the process. All right, well, that's it for tonight. Thank you so much for being with me. I want to remind you that I have Sexual Addiction Wisdom from the Masters that I am selling for Sexual Addiction Resource, Sexual Addiction Research. So please, 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 please go to my website, Sex Help with Carol the Coach, and order the hard copy. $20 plus shipping and handling. Or you can go to Amazon and get the Kindle, the iPad version for $9.99, and all proceeds go so that we can have research to substantiate that this is a real disorder, and we need more treatment, and we need better diagnoses, and you can make a difference in this world. So thank you so much. I'll catch you next week for more Sex Help with Carol the Coach. Now remember, only be one of you at all times, so fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. And as always, have a great week.